bone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, we had technical difficulties here this morning. Guess it's on my end. I came down, loaded up the computer. Something wasn't working. Jared said he's got to restart the computer. I restart the computer, and you know what happens next, right? All the systems begin to update. Try to sit there and watch that blue screen just go spin, 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 spin. So we apologize that we're here a little bit late this morning, but I promise you, we're going to give you 60 seconds of we're going to give you a 60-second marathon here this morning. Honored you would join us. And, you know, Vince just said something. I guess it was Vince. Said before we came on here, I don't know about you guys. I'm looking right now on the screen, got 26 people. We got room for a lot more. I really appreciate the fellowship. I wonder if we could think back, been on the air almost 2.5 years, over 2.5 years, every morning, missed a couple in 2.5 years I have. What your life was like before we started doing this. And the good thing about it is, I know even today that there's a great diversity of beliefs. And I know that everybody who comes and joins this show doesn't agree with me. You know what's really good? I don't demand that you do. I don't care if you agree with me. It's about the free flow of ideas and the give and take. And I would bet you if for $1 million, I could pin every one of you down and have you make a list of things that you believed a year ago that you're not sure of today. I bet it'd be amazing. And so it'd be my goal, my belief, and my hope or whatever, that you are a deeper Christian than when this show began. Not that you believe what I believe, not that you think like I think, but that you are a deeper, more active Christian than you were a year ago. That's the purpose of this show. And so, yeah, Jared. Probably not. Now Jared wants me to move my camera. So as soon as I move my camera, then things are probably going to go haywire again. Let's see. I got to do this. I could go clear back here. I could zoom in. I got a lot right there. It's good. So welcome to the show. 25 of us. We got room for a few more of you to jump in here. And I could go right now. I could just go down through the list and I could talk to Larry and all the things that Larry's added to the show, and the Alphabet Man, and Bobby Lee, and Chad, and Chris, and Dale, and Dave, David Davis, and George Lewis, and this show would not, Jeff, and Jared, and Linda, and Portia, and Ray, Richard, and Roger, and oh my goodness, Serge, and Sherry, and Silverman, and so this show wouldn't be what it is without you guys. Okay, so even, you know, some like numbers. I don't really care about numbers, although the ego likes a lot of people. Let's be honest. I wish I looked down there and said, oh my goodness, there's 30,000 watching. 30,000 ought to be watching. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. And I appreciate the friendships and the fellowships. How can you be friends with somebody that you've never met? But it happens here, doesn't it? It really, really does happen, the give and take. Again, so just throw a quick plug in for June 15th and 16th. Try to get out here to Ohio. I know some of you are planning on coming. And you haven't registered yet. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, I got to make plans. Am I making plans for 100? Am I making plans for 200? Is everybody going to come in the Wednesday before the event? Say, okay, I'm coming, and I got a day and a half to try to get stuff organized. So let us know that you're coming. Would you do that? That isn't that hard. And then the question is, why aren't you? Why aren't you coming? I know why. I know a lot of reasons why you won't. A lot of scary stuff, a little stretching of your faith, stuff that you've never done. I get it. But I promise you, it's going to be an unbelievable experience for you. We're going to take you to the mosque, and no, we're not going to start a fight at the mosque. We're going to go outside the mosque, and we're going to hand out tracts, and we're going to witness to people. We say, you know, I remember what Flip Benham told me, about 10 or 15 years ago now. He says, Coach, listen, Larry, this is right up your alley, by the way. He says, we only got the three options. So we only got three options with the whole Islamic thing. He said, they kill us, we kill them, or we get converted. One of us gets converted. That's it. Those are the only options that we have. Because we can't walk side by side with Muslims. We just can't. We don't share the same belief system. And see, I'm going to get into racism a little bit. I wanted to swear there a minute. I didn't. I'm so tired of being called a racist. I'm so sick of it. So I'm going to take you to a mosque and we're going to try to share the gospel with guys who are lost. But not lost, really, really, in my opinion, enemies of American Western civilization. Somebody said today, Dave's getting awfully close to white nationalism. You dumbass. Pardon me.
Yeah, coach. Yeah, white nationalism with the big black.
I don't even care about that anyway. At what point can we not speak the truth? At what point? I got a text from Mark Harrington yesterday. Mark's really all in. He wants to help us with our outreach to the clinic. Wants to bring some of his crew with us. Take you guys to an abortion clinic and show you how it's really done. I'm really looking excited on that. We're going to do that on Saturday. Saturday afternoon is the Gay Pride Parade, and we got some really good things going on that I'm not going to say publicly because we're being monitored. We got some good stuff that's going to go on there. Guys, listen, this will be 36 hours like you never had in your life. Okay? Do your best to try to get here. Cool. All right. Let me move on. Boy, there's crazy stuff going on all around us, you know? And I always send some stuff to Jared this morning, every morning, about what I want to talk about. I got two things I'm going to lay out on the, if it, the Lord allows me, two things I'm going to lay on the table here, okay? Number one, I want to talk about this racism thing really quickly. And number two, I want to talk about money. Oh, yeah. I want to talk about money. Not money coming into Past Assault Ministries. No, the trap of money. I want to talk about that. What else? What's in the third thing I got up there? Oh, I don't know if I can go there on that one or not. We'll see what happens. Let me. Anybody have anything for? Oh, let's time out. Pastor Mike Spaulding. Dr. Mike Spaulding, I see you're in the queue today. How about a little update, brother, on what's going on in Lima, Ohio in June? I think it's June 7th. Is that what it is, Mike? Anybody have it? I think Mike was there. I think I saw him. Maybe he's a busy guy. Maybe he's not in there. Yeah, I don't see him there right now. Okay, well, so June 7th, that's crazy, Jared. I don't even think we have that up on our website, dude. We got to get that up on our website. Mike Spaulding's having a conference June 7th and 8th, I think it is. Listen, I'll get it up and we'll hit on that a little bit more tomorrow, okay? Sorry about that, Pastor Mike. Anybody else have anything for the good of the group? Larry, what's going on there with your efforts there with the Islam? Anything people here can help with?
Well, we're slow. Our numbers are slowly growing. We're coming up with this. We only have 4 days left on the current petitions, and without a real miracle, we'll never get 100,000. So shortly after these run out, we'll be doing some new ones, but we're going to get some more videos other than my ugly mug talking to people. I think Lexi Hall is going to make a couple of videos for us, and with her and her mother teaming up. So that's going to be good, but we're just...
Oh, they're racist. They're going to be racist. Uh-oh, they're going to... Uh-oh, they're racist.
Now, the point is we're not giving up, because giving up is not an option for our grandchildren.
No, it's not. No, June 8th to 10th. Mike Spaulding just said June 8th through 10th. I'm sorry, Mike. I wanted to get you on here. Sorry, I didn't get that to you. June 8th through 10th. We'll give that a little bit more poke tomorrow. So my apologies on that, Mike. Anybody else? And then anything for the good of the group? Anything going on down there in Texas? Anything going on in Wisconsin? Anything like that we need to know about? Got good news with David Arthur, I think. Are you there, Alphabet Man? How are things looking for you here in Ohio?
Everything's looking good. I went and looked at the house yesterday. A few things got to be done, and we're going to get them done in the next couple of days, and I'll be in there this week.
Cool. Awesome. Amen. Good work there, Jeff Klein, Jeff and Pastor Bill. I know they've been doing a lot to get David all situated around. Cool. I want to say, turn to Galatians 3. I got to lay this to rest.
Well, Dave, 1 second. Yeah, I was just going to say.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say that, folks, we would really like for you to be able to make it to the annual up here in Ohio there in June. But if you just can't make it due to whatever reason, you just can't make it, but you want to donate and you want to sponsor somebody to be able to go, then just go on to the website and then enter your donation. And then down there on the comments section, if you'll put for your annual donation, anyway, just notate that it's what that's for. Your donation is to sponsor somebody to go to that, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad. Yeah, it's going to be it'll be a life-changing event, and you can really help. By the way, if you do that, say, hey, send me a CD, Coach. Send me a DVD. We'll be glad to ship that stuff right out to you. Speaking of DVDs, the ones from the conference are just about done. We've run into some technical glitches on that. So if you've ordered one of those, I promise you we'll have them out to you. I know I've said it for 2 weeks, but we're having an issue with whatever. And so we'll get those out. Promise you they'll be coming your way. I understand when I come on this show in the morning, I understand one of the reasons you come, I think, is because it is somewhat controversial. But see, we have to understand that we're not the ones that make it controversial. I didn't make it controversial. They say, well, he says some controversial things. Really? Well, that'd be unique. Have you ever watched the controversial things that the God-hating left is doing to us? When's the last time you heard somebody talk about homosexual marriage on the left being controversial? It's only controversial when those of us who are pushing back against the darkness, then it becomes controversial. See, you're not controversial. Boy, Jared, that would be a thank you, Lord. Jared, that's a Webster's 1828 dictionary. That's one worth having, Jared. Let's see what it says about controversy. Because I think we need to be more controversial, be honest with you. Truth is. And I want you all to know this right up front. You can call me whatever you want to, white nationalist, racist, whatever you want to. I'm immune to it. It doesn't bother me. Save your clicks on the computer. It doesn't bother me. I ain't none of that stuff. I'm none of that stuff. And unfortunately, you're the ones that have been programmed. You're the ones whose mind's stuck in neutral or park. I don't know what it is. And you may be able to throw that racist thing at somebody else. It ain't going to work here. Okay? It isn't going to work. Jared's got it up. What is controversy? A dispute. Guys, is there a dispute about homosexual marriage? Yeah, I'd say there's a debate, a dispute. How come I'm the controversial one? A debate. Agitation of contrary opinions. That's okay, isn't it? To have some agitation of contrary opinions? A dispute is commonly oral, and a controversy in writing. Dispute is often or generally a debate of short duration, a temporary debate. A controversy is often oral and sometimes continued in books or in law for months or years. Is abortion controversial? Yeah, well, who made it controversial? I did, because I ain't going to sit back and let him get away with it. Why are we so afraid of being controversial? Why do we have to be go along to get along? Why am I the one? Because I bring up controversy within the church, controversy within some of our rules and regulations and traditions. Why am I the one? Because I question the status quo. That makes me controversial. Go along to get along. Can't you guys see can't you see how this game is played? Can't you see?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, you know what? I was at my grandson's Little League game last night, and it's amazing the stupid things that men will get up in arms about and fight over. But see, men aren't taught to fight a real fight. They're not taught to fight for things like abortion, homosexuality.
Right.
But you know what? If someone took a hubcap off their car, man, they go chase them down 10 miles to try and get that thing back and beat them up. But you know what? When a little baby's being murdered,
yeah,
most men won't lift a finger. And see, that's wrong. And that needs to change in our nation if our nation's going to survive.
Hey, George, so last night the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Boston Celtics again. I didn't watch it. I just didn't want to watch it. But I watched a couple clips of it this morning. And you know what? Those fans are fanatics. They're fanatical. Those guys, some of those guys go out there and they paint up their face. I mean, it's amazing. Grown men are fanatical. Well, what happens if you're fanatical about the preborn? Well, they laugh you out. They go, look at that guy. Oh, he's controversial. He's a fanatic. Oh, my goodness. He's got a screw loose. Do you watch men at basketball games and football games? And you know why that is? Because they don't really have a real fight to fight. They don't really have it. So they have to let this frustration out. And so they get to go root for LeBron James, and it gets the frustration out of them. I go root for little babies, and it helps get the frustration out. And I go root for the fact that there's something deadly wrong when the Pope says homos are on the way to heaven. They're born that way, and they're on the way to heaven. The Pope said that. I get fanatical about that, see? But then I'm the controversial one. He isn't controversial. I'm controversial. Do you see that? Guys, don't you understand it? And so what do? They try to shut us up. They try to shut up our mouth. They don't want us to be controversial. Go along to get along, Coach. Don't talk about that stuff, Coach. Coach, don't bring discord amongst the brethren. Really? Hey, Jared, what's discord? D-I-S-C-O-R-D, discord. He who brings, sows discord. One thing, seven things the Lord hates. He who sows discord amongst the brothers. Disagreement among persons or things, between persons, differences of opinion. So you're not allowed to have any differences of opinion. Is that what we're supposed to say? Hey, Coach, you're mad. That's why I'm ticked off. Difference of opinion, variance, opposition, contention, strife, any disagreement which produces angry passions, contest, to dispute, litigation, or war. Discord may exist between families, parties, nations. I'm with the churches, denominations, religion. All discord, harmony not understood. In music, a disagreement of sounds and discord. Are you with me? Discord. You have to sow discord on things that aren't true. We have to sow discord.
Amen.
We can't go along to get along. We cannot get along with baby murder. Guys, we can't get along with it. We can't. Larry, hang on, Jerry. Larry, we can't get along with Islam. We can't get along with it. No matter how much we would like, we are. Why halt you between two opinions? We cannot get along with it. We can, but somebody's going to have to compromise. See, no to clitorectomies. No to clitorectomies. That's discord. Right. No. No to women slaves. No. No. See, Right. Listen. Discord amongst brethren is picking at things that, buddy, you better earnestly contend for the faith and the truth. You better earnestly contend for that. And see, we're taught not to do that. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, Coach, I mean, if you're sowing truth, you're not the one, like you started, you're not the one sowing discord. You, right. See, these people they're sowing disagreement. They're sowing disorder, a clashing, whereas you are trying to do the opposite. We want order. No, we don't want dudes having butt sex with each other. That's out of order. That's right.
I'm not for that. I don't approve of that, and I'm not going to sit quietly in the corner and say it's okay. I will not do that. I'm not going to sit silently and say it's okay for a man and a woman to have sex outside of marriage and then kill the baby as a result of it. I will not if a denomination that I'm part of begins to accept that, I will sow discord. And they're not my brothers. Those are not my brothers, see. They're not my brothers. Debate's good. It's right. Good. Disagreement's good. In the multitude of many counselors, it's good. Golly, we're so programmed. Coach, you're a racist. You're a white supremacist. Oh, coaches, borderline, whoa, Christian, what? Oh, you guys make me want to puke.
It's stupid, Coach. It's just
I read
stupid.
The Bible, Vinny. I read the Bible. I read the Bible.
Don't read it. You live it.
Hang on. Let me ask you something here, folks. You don't have to do much Googling. There's only one race, the two races, those races for heaven, those races in hell. But if you look in the Bible, isn't there racism all throughout the Bible? Now, they don't call racism because race was a term that was made up in the 1920s by the CIA. But the Jebusites and the Hebusites and the Hupusites and the Mopusites and everywhere you look, people are being identified by who they are. That is not racism. That is not racism. I noticed that Big Vince is a black man. That is not racism. Okay? I noticed that the Jews who identify themselves as a separate and equal race. That is not racism if I identify what they have identified themselves as.
Exactly.
Golly, we're so stupid. They call themselves that. And when I point out what they believe that they call themselves that, I'm now the racist. It's a made-up right. term.
It's nonsense. It's
nonsense. It's nonsense. I don't walk down the street and say, oh, well, there's Roger. He's a Baptist. Or there's Joe Silver. Well, he's an Episcopalian. What? Well, maybe we could start doing that, maybe. We probably could start doing it, because when you ask people, what religion are you? They tell you the denomination most times. Most times. By the way, we ain't even Christians. That's a made-up term, too. They were first called Christians at Antioch, and they were made fun of. Oh, those little Christians. And now we've adopted a name that was meant as a pejorative. When it first, that's a good word, a pejorative.
Yeah.
Meant to be negative. It was supposed to be negative, and we've accepted. Of course, you don't know that. Doesn't matter to you.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know what I've noticed in my short lifetime? I've noticed that people that call people that aren't something, but they call them something, they are the something they call the people.
Right. It's misdirection, brother.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So, you know, I don't know about you guys. I noticed Vince is black. Black. I noticed it. Does that make me a racist? And curiously enough, hey, Vince, where are the other black guys? Are you the only one? Are you the only one? Where are they all?
I'm not the only one.
Well, you notice as soon as Kanye and some of these others start to speak out, oh, they shut them down. Why? Because, see, we can't have that. We can't have blacks and whites working together.
We can't have people off the plantation, brother.
Oh, no, we can't have that going.
Oh, boy.
No.
Somebody get that going.
Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Are we in Galatians 3? I hope we are, because I don't know if you noticed this yesterday. I had a good conversation with George off camera yesterday. And I don't know if you noticed, I got halfway through Galatians 4 yesterday and I kind of cut it off. Because again, Galatians 4 won't make sense unless you've read Galatians 3. And I realized that when I was halfway through it. I thought, wait a minute, this is kind of out of context. If you don't understand where we're coming from, then it won't make sense. And Galatians is long. Galatians 3 is long. It's really, really important. Really important. It really is. I was reading it even this morning. Folks, I'm talking about racism. Racism. Do you realize if you really want to get down to it, the 12 tribes, if the 12 tribes were around today, they would be called racist. They've made it up. They would have separated the 12 tribes. They would have called them, they would have called them whatever. They'd given them names and they'd been racist. They would now be racist. They'd be minority, right? It's what they've done to us. When the Lord said just the opposite, said there ain't any racists. There aren't any. He said, you guys want to keep pointing those things out. There's only two races. Those who are saved and those who aren't saved. Those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. It's all throughout. It's here in Galatians. Okay? Rogers once says, we need a little bit more Bible. So we'll give you some Bible here real quickly. Maybe not quickly. It's important for us to see. It's up on the screen. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? What a good question that would be. Hey, Jared, what's bewitched? Bewitched, bewitched. Bam, 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 bewitched. Fascinated, charmed. You foolish Galatians, who has fooled you, fascinated you, who's charmed you? What happened to you guys? I got to say this. Okay, thank you, Lord. I got an email the other day. I get emails, I read them, and then I let them ruminate before I bring them to the table. I want us to always remember this. Peter was called to the Jews. Peter is an evangelist to the Jews. Who is Paul an evangelist to? Paul was not an evangelist to the Jews. Paul was an evangelist to?
To the Gentiles.
The Gentiles, to the non-Jews, the unsaved. Right. Peter brought a message to the Jews who understood Judaism or Old Testamentism, whatever you want to call that, Peter was sent to the guys who should understand. Paul was sent to those who didn't understand. They were outsiders. And so when Paul begins to speak to people, see, Peter talks to people and says, hey, all these rules and regulations, and here's what it means. But when Paul begins to speak to him, Paul begins to speak, says, listen, all those rules and regulations, don't worry about all those rules and regulations. At least that's the way that I understand it. And so Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, was writing the New Testament to people who weren't saved, people who weren't raised in Judaism. They weren't raised in the religion of the elders. So he was bringing something totally brand new to them. You guys understand that? It kind of changes your perspective as you're reading the letters. So Paul's speaking to the Galatians here, and he says, hey, boys, remember, they were pretty much unsaved guys. They were not religious folk. He says, who has bewitched you? I got to go back. Jared lost it. Let me see. That's not it. Jared, I lost him. Oh, yeah. You got to bring it back for me. Oh, foolish Galatians, who's tricked you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now, this only what I have learned of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? He says, listen, did you guys come to the truth by the law? Or did somebody just talk you to about faith? It's a faith journey, a faith walk. And so he says, you guys are foolish. Are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit that now you want to start following all these rules? Paul says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or does he do it by the faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, these are the same with the children of Abraham? He says, you became children of Abraham, not through some bloodline, not through some laws, not through some rules. You became children of Abraham through faith. Faith, that's what we're doing. That's what we're dealing with now, boys, he said. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In other words, God told Abraham, all the people are going to be blessed. You probably don't understand it, Abe, but all the people are going to be blessed through you, okay? For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. The law is a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, if you under the law and you break one of the laws, you're guilty. There isn't anything you can't do anything about. You're guilty. You're guilty of all of them. So if you believe in New Old Testament tithing, then you have to put yourself under all the laws. If you give because you want to give, that's one thing. If you give out of duty, you've now put yourself back under the law. That's a whole nother teaching. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Golly, this is so clear. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who's Paul speaking to? To the lost world, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world. Paul said the blessing of Abraham is going to come to you folks only through Jesus. It's not going to come through following some laws. It's not a bloodline thing, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed. The seed was Christ. And this I say, that the covenant, the law is confirmed before God in Christ. The law, which is 430 years after, cannot annul that it should make the promise of none effect. So the law is done. It can't do it anymore. It's now through faith and belief. You become a child of Abraham through faith. No races. Ain't no races. Even though they try to put us in races today, there ain't no races. Wherefore then? Why do you serve the law? He said. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Do you get it? We talk about the seed of Jesus. The law is necessary to get the perfect seed through. Isn't that what it said? Isn't that what it says? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Who was the promise made? To the seed of Abraham, to everybody on the earth, to whosoever will. and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been made by the law. He said, if the law could bring eternal life, then we have the law. The law can't do that. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, anybody, whosoever. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Oh, man, before Christ, you're under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. And wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. The purpose of the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Ain't no races. Ain't no races. Ain't no races, Paul's saying. Now, hang on. You're certainly smart enough to know. Back in this time when Paul is writing this letter, there are plenty of races. If we want to call them races, there are plenty of them. Can you imagine the mongrels running around Rome? Can you imagine the mixed breeding that's going on around Rome? So races are everywhere. And Paul said, listen, there ain't no races. We're all seed of Abraham. If you believe by faith, you're the seed of Abraham. I'm glad you were a good Jew, but it ain't got nothing to do with it now. And I'm glad that you are a lost, what do they call it? That you're a lost, not Pharisee, a brain. But you are now adopted into the family. Stay with me. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. This cannot be any more clear, can it? Can this be any more clear? That's the law was good until Jesus came. Then the law isn't good. The law is a schoolmaster. Why are you bringing yourself back under the principle? He says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You are God's chosen people. You are. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Boys and girls, you're neither Jew nor Greek. Huh? What? There is neither Jew nor Greek. Huh? There's neither bond nor free. How about this one, dudes? Homos ought to like this one. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. Hey, boys and girls, race is something made up by the devil. Huh? And we have the church parroting the devil's song. Black churches and white churches and Methodist churches and Lutheran churches. Paul right here says, that ain't none of that stuff. What makes you a Methodist? Well, I'll tell you what makes you a Methodist. Are you sitting down, boys? You sitting down, girls? You know what makes you a Methodist? The Methodist law. You know what makes you a Baptist? The Baptist law. They call it doctrine. What makes you a Lutheran? Why the law? What'd Paul say? Ain't no law. All right. So am I a racist? I want to say that dumb A again. Ain't no. Hey, guys, I'm married to a beautiful woman. And I know that there is male and female. I know that. I understand that. She and I understand that there's a male and a female. But the point being is there ain't no, we're all equal. In the eyes of the Lord, we're all the same. You ain't special because you're a Jew, and you ain't special because you're a non-Jew. Ain't nothing special about nobody. If you receive Jesus Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heir to the promise.
Dave?
Amen, brother. Yep. Amen.
Well, and I think the other thing, just to piggyback, is the pastor is nothing special. We have put these men up on these pedestals.
Yep.
When put their pants on the same way you do.
Read the same Bible.
The position as pastor, but no more than you would respect anybody else in a job.
That's right.
These men to be more than they are. They're nothing. They're no different than you and I. That's the truth.
They read the same Bible. They do like we do. They study to show themselves approved. They read different things. That's why I think this is what I love about this show. We bring so many different opinions to the table here, man. We really do. And then it's up to you, the Holy Spirit, to decide where it fits in your life, whether it's true or whether it's not true.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, brother.
Hey, Serge, what race are you? What race? Well, Vince, what race are you? Where do we? Hey, folks, where do we put the Negroes on our show? Do we have a room for Negroes here? Do we have a room for Italians anyway? Is there any place we can put? Where do we put the Methodists there, folks? How stupid are we?
Excuse me, boss. Can I get in here, boss?
And we've done it ourselves, right? We've done it ourselves. Clearly against what the Apostle Paul taught. Clearly against it.
Absolutely.
Clearly against it. And the church is focused on it.
Hey,
well, if we could just get our black brothers to agree with us. What? Hey. Your black brother? What is a black brother?
Right.
How about this one? If we could just get our Chinese brothers to agree with you, never hear that, do you? Hear that. Oh, if we could just get our Malaysian brothers on board with us, we are so freaking programmed.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
You know, you just mentioned what Paul wrote. I want to point out that the same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus every word to say as he was walking through his ministry is the same Holy Spirit that caused Paul to write that. So what Paul wrote carries every bit as much authority and weight as what Jesus said.
Amen, Larry. And who's he writing this to? Is he writing this to Jews? No. Specifically, he is not writing it to Jews. He was called to the Gentiles. I can show you that. I'm just not prepared to show you that today, okay? So as we look across America and look across the world today, folks, there's only two. There's the saved and the unsaved. Gentile basically means unsaved. There's the lost and there's the found. That's it. You got nothing to do with the color of your skin or whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. Whether you make a million or whether you owe a million. You know, it got nothing to do with anything. It's all level. All level. All right. Cool. I had to get that off my chest. I don't know how it got on my chest, except if I read one more daggone thing about white nationalism and Nazis and all that program. See, some of them are trolls. Some of them are just trolls, you know? But yeah, unfortunately, there are people watching the show who ain't smart enough on their own to recognize a troll, so therefore we have to point it out. Go ahead, Vince.
Because it's the squeaky wheels that get the grease, first of all. And then yeah. Let's talk about this real quickly. I think as racist, I'm a bigot. I'm a bigot against child murderers. I'm a bigot against.
Me too.
Okay, I mean, there's a whole difference, but it's misdirection. They misdirect people to antagonize us when they should be. Those are the people they should be going after. Those are the pedosexuals. Pedosexuals. That's what the P stands for in that stupid 15-letter acronym. Pedosexual. What kind of sick crap is that?
We don't even hate that, Vince. I do too, but we don't really hate that. We don't hate. Listen, we don't hate. David, are you here? Are you in here, David Arthur?
Yep.
Hey, David Arthur. Is the LGBTQRSTUV movement trying to recruit our children or not?
Absolutely. That's what they do.
Why don't we hate that? Why does the church embrace that?
We better.
Why do we have this fake pope over there in Rome, this fake New World Order pope over there in Rome, telling people now homosexuality is, you're born that way? The pope said that, right? The pope said that. This wasn't Joe Blow at some bar. This wasn't some comedian on Saturday Night Live. This is the pope.
Now, who does the pope work for?
Who does the pope work for? Boy, oh boy, I'll get the emails tomorrow. Huh?
Well, I'll say that pope is a he's a satanic pope. He has to be.
Well, Vince, what do you say to those faithful Catholics who go to mass every Sunday and say their rosary and do all that stuff and love Jesus and they're following this? We got two popes now. Two of them.
Better wake up.
Benedict's still alive, right? And then we got this other guy here, this communist in there now. the Red Pope. We got two popes in there, and I hear the Red Pope's going to resign, so there are going to be three popes alive. Vicars of Christ speak for the church, and each one changes the rule.
Yep.
This guy's changing 2,000 years of rules. And so people got upset because I was talking about bloodline yesterday in regards to the British throne. My goodness, what do you think makes the British throne? Why do they
right.
Why do they call it the royal family? Oh, my right. God, we stupid.
So-called bloodline.
Oh. All right, I could ride this horse for a month. I'm not going to ride it anymore. Listen, what are we talking about, Ray? I want to play this. Hey, Jared, abortion really matters to me. It matters so much more to me whether somebody, what color somebody is. Jared, it's the one that says childish on racism. I'm convinced of this. Hey, Vince, I'm going to ask you. Why won't black people fight abortion? Why are black pulpits? See, there I go again. There I go. Why don't they speak out against abortion, Vince? What's going on?
They have been deluded. They've been deluded into thinking that, you know, they talk about this being a woman's choice. It's got, just like you said before, it's got nothing to do with a woman's choice. It's a separate being. You don't have the right to murder a separate being on your whims.
So Vince, how can a I'm sorry, I'm using terms. How can a person of color?
Yeah, that was a nonsense. I know.
Be pro-life and go to a church where they promote voting for Hillary Clinton. How does that work, Vince?
Well, I'll tell you how it works. It works the same way as everything else. It's about semantics and misdirection. They don't understand it. They don't truly comprehend what's going on. And then they go along with the crowd chanting slogans. The slogans have nothing to do with the act. It's just like gun control. What do you propose? What do you propose will change the rules that will stop bad people from having guns? Because you can make all the laws you want. Criminals don't obey laws. So and they're never going to listen. So let's hear what you have to say. I've never gotten an answer. So it's the same thing with that.
So the largest voting block of the Democratic Party, I hope you're sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
The largest voting block of the Democratic Party is Catholic. And the Catholic Church is, help me out here, pro-life, hate abortion. In fact, the stance of the Catholic Church at one time was no birth control.
Right.
The children were the absolute blessing heritage of the Lord. And that if you were a faithful Catholic, you had many children. And now we have the Catholic Church voting for abortion candidates. What is going on? See, it's the great, great deception, guys. Right. Great deception.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Hey, you and I hit on this a little bit yesterday. I think a lot of it has to do with situational ethics, which was not really about it starting a generation or so ago. And so now people can compartmentalize. You know, a person can be Catholic, pro-life, and vote for Hillary Clinton because there's a total disconnect because, you know what, they're not looking at the word. They're looking at humanism, plain and simple.
So, George, when I said to somebody, we're talking about political parties, I was having a conversation with a guy, and he said to me, well, what's the most important issue for you? And I said, well, if somebody's for killing babies, I'm not for them. That's it. I don't care what the rest of their policies are. If they want to kill babies, I can't support them. And he looked at me like my teeth were about to fall out. What? So what about the economy? I mean, they just go a thousand different directions, right? So we have religious Christians, people who most important issue to us should be life. We would claim it would be life. The Catholic Church, thank God for the Catholic Church. They've held the line against abortion. The Catholic Church has. And half the people sitting in the Catholic Church are voting for people that will kill babies. What's going on? So hey, Clonard, go ahead.
Coach, I was brought up Catholic. I was an altar boy. And
that's a picture.
The the thing that I was, the way I was brought up in the church was that you can sin all you want 6 days a week, and Sunday when you come in, you're forgiven for everything.
Yep.
Yeah. And that, that's why they're deceived to think that they can do whatever they want all week long, and then Sunday morning, they're forgiven.
I'm with you, Serge. I was raised one of those too. Well, my phone's dinging there. Okay, listen, this is Clenard Childress. I'm not going to be able to have time to show, but there's a part of this clip I want to see. Clenard Childress is he's a good man. Black Planned Parenthood is his website. Blackgenocide.org. Planned Parenthood. KLANNED. Planned Parenthood.org, I believe, is the same. And this is a speech he's making in the pro-life movement. And I just want you to hear a little bit of this truth coming out of this. Vince, what do I call him? Do I have to call him by his color? Is that what I have to do? I got to identify this guy by the color of his skin? He's in that red convertible. That guy, he's a red convertible. Oh, there's a blue convertible. I got to do that. You see how we're so programmed?
It's ridiculous. I want you to
go ahead and play this clip on Clenard Childress.
Thank you, doctor. Okay, our final speaker is well known.
About the 2 minute mark. Move it to about the 2 minute mark. We'll get by some of the stuff at the beginning. Go ahead.
But you got to understand that the lies are getting so deep, we got to be concerned about every truth or so-called truth we hear. Now, listen, your president is not racist, okay? Let me just say this. With one stroke of his pen, he has done more for African Americans than the last administration did in 8 years. One stroke.
This is a brave man. This is a brave man.
We are rebuilding our community, the African American community, because 70% of our homes are headed by a single parent. 70%. That's a church issue. We got to deal with that. But the president knew that. And who did he give the biggest tax break to? He gave it to single mothers who are heading households with children, up to 65%. Racist people don't do that. All right? Then he made it even better. He went far and beyond any sitting president when he doubled the child tax credit to those women who chose life, who were abandoned by their men, who were going to know that they were going to go through great difficulty. They chose life. They had their child. And this president has given them what they need to do better. That is not racism. So the African-American community within 1 year has seen, guess what? Pro-life people do care for mothers after they have the child. Certainly, we see that not only in the grassroots, now we see it in the White House. That is a sociological fact. He's not going to do it. He's not guessing about doing it. He's not promising change. But this is something that has already arrived, and it is done. It's history. And now he's going on to the next thing.
Okay, Jared, we don't have time for more of it. Guys, you gotta watch this, and maybe we can put it up on the link. Hey, Jared, I want you to type in right now real quickly, Clanned with a K, clannedparenthood.org. PlannedParenthood.org. See, abortion would end tomorrow if Black America woke up and got behind it with what's really going on in the Black community. If they would. It's not a political thing, see. It's a righteous thing. Clanned with a K. Clanned. Clanned Parenthood.
Hey, Coach, by the way. By the way, if you devise a way to make this work, I'll be your vanguard on this. I'll be your face.
So here's his website, Planned Parenthood, and it talks about all the statistics in Black children being aborted. Unbelievable. Okay, now look at it's great stuff there. How come this isn't in? How come we're not hearing this stuff? Huh? How come we're not? Now, Jared, type in another one. Type in blackgenocide.org. Same, still him, still Clonard Childress, blackgenocide.org. There it is. Purpose of this website to expose a disproportionate amount of black babies destroyed by the abortion industry. For every two African-American women that get pregnant, one will choose to abort. Great, 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 great information. Not Republican, not Democrat, Christian, 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 Christian. And I'm racist if I want to save black children. I'm the racist, see? If I want to point out what's being done, I'm the racist. When's the last time you've seen Clonard Childress on Fox News? I wonder. You guys see him on there a lot? You guys, I'm just curious. They got Juan Williams on there. They got Juan Williams on there, not Clonard Childress. Childress. They wouldn't want to have him
Juan
on there.
Williams. You mean
Stephen Hatchett,
right?
Well, Juan Williams is there because he's serving a purpose, right? He's serving a purpose. And what is that purpose? Racism. He is the other side. See, can you present the other side without being black? Could they have just a white liberal on there and do that? Sure they could. Why don't they? Because they want to keep the divide and conquer. I don't care which news. It's the devil, folks. It's the devil. The divide and conquer is the devil. In the middle of Christianity, it's everywhere. It's in the middle of our country. Clonard Childress. Get that link to everybody so they can watch it. Now, here's where I was going to go today, so don't miss it because I'm going to go there tomorrow. Does anybody want to jump in here before I say it? I don't want to switch subjects if somebody had something they want to say.
Okay. All you.
Okay, cool. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the fact that our Pentagon has $21 trillion unaccounted for. $21 trillion. I want to talk tomorrow about the fact that Wall Street is worth like $240 trillion. We don't have any money. We don't have that money. Trillions. Are we speaking trillions? You don't want to miss tomorrow because I'm going to show you something that I know you never thought about. It's just coming to me almost like a revelation, almost like I heard from the Lord. Kevin Bushy said this to me about 7 months ago or so. It sunk in, but it didn't sink in. And here's what it is. Money is meaningless. At the upper echelon, money is nothing more than a tool to control all of us. That's all it is. That's
awesome.
All it is.
That's right.
That money, that the Pentagon can go out and lose $21 trillion and stay in business. Everybody still gets paid. Food on everybody's table. They don't know about where the money came from. They don't know where the money went, but everything keeps on rolling. And what happens? Where is the oppression? Well, the oppression is down here where I live and down here where you live because you're still paying your taxes because you think you have to pay your taxes. When those in the upper echelon know money ain't nothing. It doesn't even mean anything. Don't miss tomorrow. Because our children are in unbelievable, unbelievable debt. College debt. We have children coming out of college with a mortgage. And we expect them to somehow be able to survive in a society. And guys, the money that the government loaned to the schools, they didn't loan that money to the schools. It's all facade. It's all facade. Your child goes and they get a government loan. And so you never see the money. You don't see it. It's all of a sudden the digits show up from the government into the school's fund and you get the bill for it. You get the bill for it. There was never any money that ever took place anywhere. And then your kids, even though they never ever saw the money, spend the rest of their life paying interest. See, they print all kinds of money because money isn't anything. They don't care about the money. They just print it. But then they shackle you with it through interest payments for the rest of your life. They're laughing all the way to the bank. Why don't they care about the Pentagon losing $21 trillion? Because they know it isn't money. They know it's just paying, printed. It's just fake. And as a result, what's happening? Oh. Young people aren't having kids. And why aren't they having kids? Well, they can't have kids because they can't afford. Both mom and dad have to work. And all of a sudden you wake up, you're 35 years old and say, golly, it's too late, almost too late to start a family. Real healthy families are having babies at 20, 21, 22. Back when we were kids, it was 18, 19, getting married at 16. Now they're not married at 30. And if they're married at 30, they don't have kids at 36. Why? Follow the money. Going to crack that one open for you tomorrow as well.
I got
about 4 minutes. Come on in here. Yeah, Raj?
They're not marrying at all. Everybody's just shacking up.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, why would you? I put a meme on my Facebook page yesterday. I said this. Can you name one American institution that Christians have seized control of from the left? In other words, the left has an organization. Let's say the left is in control of our schools. Let's say that one. Can you name one organization like that that the Christians have gone in and taken back? One. Can you name one? I hear the birds. No, I can't name one. Can you name one Christian organization that the left is coming in and taking control of?
And here, the Baptist, who Christ called no one was greater, clearly said, some things have to be taken by force.
Some things have to be. That's right. And I'm thinking of some of my friends who are warning me and reminding me over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and over that they'll come after me now. That we are prisoners to our government, to taxation. Hey, Roger, just curious, how much of your money goes in taxes?
None of your business.
Roger, how much?
Too damn much.
Would you say 50%? Now, Roger, I'm not talking about income tax. I'm talking about all the other tax. Folks, if you stop and think about it, if you look at your life right now, how much of the money that you make goes for taxes to somebody or something? And what isn't going to somebody or something for taxes is going to somebody or something for interest. Huh? What an evil and corrupt system we have trapped our children into. And as good grandparents, good parents and grandparents, a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And we're not doing a very good job of that.
Hey,
not at all.
Hey, Coach.
George.
Coach.
Yep.
You know, think about this from an earthly standpoint, not heavenly, but an earthly standpoint. Our most secure place should be our place of shelter. Our place of refuge should be our home, our house, our apartment, Amen. Or wherever, right? But yet, folks, we'll never own it. Even when you have it paid off, you still have a mortgage. Coach, you remember Terry Taylor, my good friend? Became one of your good friends who passed away. Well, they did a movie down in Texas a few years ago called The Widow's Mite. And it was about a couple. He passed away and she couldn't afford the property and they took it away. You know, that's just wrong. I mean, that's wrong when you can't live in your shelter and not worry about it being taken from you. Well, that's seriously wrong.
Well, so listen, I'm about out of time. Tomorrow, just think about this. You go out and get a mortgage. If you're out and get a $100,000 mortgage, you pay it on 30 years, you pay about $350,000 for it. So you've paid $250,000 in interest, right? And then you're taxed. And then you're taxed. I don't know about you guys. My property taxes are as much as my mortgage. Well, now wait a minute. Not the interest. Take the interest off. The principal. My property taxes every month is as much as my principal. Every month. And then you tack the interest on top of it. And you ask yourself, why are we in the situation we're in? Don't miss tomorrow.
Excellent. God bless
you. We'll see you then.